It is good to have you join us. I can't see you through the live stream and all, but we do have a record on the website of how many people have been following us through the live stream, and I appreciate that. We do run 100 or so that watch on the live stream and check out the website, and I do appreciate that, those that do check it and those that follow us on the live stream. Before I get into this sermon, every month on the first Saturday, we have a men's Bible study. And yesterday was no different. We had a men's Bible study out at Danny's place. The brother that taught the Bible class, Rick Carroll, as he started teaching his class, I thought, all right, you're getting into my Sunday night sermon a little bit too much. He talked about Joshua quite a bit, and that's what we want to talk about tonight, is the leadership qualities of Joshua. You know, it is impressive when we have great influence in our lives. The leadership influence, and that's what Brother Carroll talked about yesterday. But Joshua is one of those men who we ought to look back at and look at his leadership as he led the children of Israel. If you're following along in your Bibles, Joshua 24 is where we're going to read from for just a moment. Beginning in verse 29, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gosh. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." Now, of course, this influence that Joshua had was due to God being with them. In fact, it's pointed out here, all the works that the Lord had done, which he had done for Israel, all the way back to the time that Moses led them out of the land of Egypt. But you think about Joshua and the miraculous things that took place when he was the leader. You talk about crossing the Jordan River and the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant. As soon as their feet hit the water of the Jordan River, it parted. Now that's a miracle that took place while Joshua was leading the people of Israel. And then the whole nation, as it were, crossed over the Jordan River, which, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, the Bible points out that it was flooded at that time. So the waters were up over their banks, and God still parted the water. He stopped it from flowing. Then you have the fall of the city of Jericho that happened under Joshua's leadership. And it's interesting. They didn't strike the first blow to cause these walls to fall. They didn't charge the gates with a battering ram. They didn't do anything except what God told them to do, to march around the city and blow the trumpets. And when they did what God said, at the end of it, the walls fell. Well, what about when you read in Joshua 10 that God caused the sun to stand still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies? God caused the moon and the sun to stand still while the Israelites defeated their enemies. All of these things are miraculous events, but they took place under the leadership of Joshua, which God caused to happen under his leadership. Now you have to stop and ponder this for a moment. If Joshua was not the leader that God wanted him to be, these things may not have happened. But credit also goes to Joshua. We have to give him credit because he followed God from the very beginning. From the very beginning, the promise of God's support was based upon Joshua and his faithful obedience to the word of God. We notice the first chapter of Joshua, and he talks about this, and it culminates in verse 9, in verses 1 through 9. And God tells him in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. Even if I'm not a leader, every person needs this in their life. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid of what this world is going to throw at you. because the Lord has promised He will be with you wherever you go. So when we look at Joshua, he stands before us as an example of what it takes to be a great leader. And you know, every generation needs good leadership. In this generation, we need men to stand up and be the elders that God would have them to be. And it's not just the eldership that needs to be the leadership. Brother Carroll pointed out in his Bible class yesterday, the men's Bible study, that every man in the congregation serves in a leadership role. He pointed out that every man serves as a father figure. And that's a good point, because there are young people watching us as men and women to see what we're going to do next. And you may not see them, you may not have them in mind, but they're looking to you to be the example that they need to be in their lives. They're following you. And for those who would follow, Joshua serves as a role model, an excellent example of what our leaders should be like. So in this lesson, we're going to consider kind of closely the qualities of Joshua and what served to make him that great leader that he was, so that we know what to expect in those who would lead us today. Well, the first thing we're going to do is notice that Joshua was a man of humility. Before he was a leader, Joshua was willing to serve. In fact, the Bible tells us that he served under Moses in the wilderness for 40 years. He was known as Moses' assistant and his servant. Passages like Exodus 24 and verse 13 calls Joshua the servant of Moses. In passages like Exodus 33 and verse 11, Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua. So we understand here that before you can be a leader, you have to know how to serve. He was known as an assistant and as a servant. I want to suggest to you that great leaders are people who have no problem serving others. And it helps to prepare them for the time that they will become leaders. Joshua's humility is also shown to us, demonstrated to us, as we look at another quality that we find in Joshua. Well, let me get on up to where I was. I've done skipped over part of my points here. Joshua was a man of faith and trust in God. I'm going to blame this on Danny for stealing my sermon, getting me off my
page.
You done got a text about the sermon? Joshua was a man of faith, and he put his trust in God. And we see this when he was one of the spies sent out to spy out the land of Canaan. The 10 spies that went with him lacked faith. We see that when they come back with their report in Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 28. The text there tells us that when the 12 spies come back, there were 10 that said, "Oh no, we cannot go to this land because we're like grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants." There were giants there in the land of promise. But they brought back the fruit of the land, and it should have been enough, and it should have been enough to have faith in God that He's delivered them through everything and every obstacle this far, and yet they still lack faith. But not Joshua and not Caleb. Caleb and Joshua, despite the peer pressure, followed God. He must have felt peer pressure from these other 10, as well as Caleb, demonstrating in their faith by giving their report about what God had done for them. We see their report in Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. But the peer pressure, can you imagine? Here come back these 10 spies, and as they're getting back to the camp, they must know that Joshua and Caleb are not walking along in the same path that they are. And they may be saying something like, you know, we've got to have a talk with these two because they're going to try to get us to go into this promised land and get us to attack these people. And we need to talk to them because we don't want to do this. We don't have our faith in God, and yet they do. And here's Joshua and Caleb as they come back. the 10 spies, you know, gave a negative report. And Joshua says, basically, if God is with us, we can take this land. Joshua had remembered, being the servant, the assistant of Moses, what God had done for the nation of Israel from the time they left Egypt, from the 10 plagues in Egypt, from the passing over of the death angel, to the crossing of the Red Sea, to the giving of the 10 commandments on Mount Sinai, everything that God had done for them, Joshua remembered. But we see this faith and trust in God at the fall of Jericho. God gave Joshua instructions in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall blow 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they blow, make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people will shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Can you imagine God giving Joshua these instructions? And here Joshua is, he's a military man. And God says, "You do this and the city will be yours, it will fall." And if Joshua didn't have faith in God, he might have scratched his head and he goes, "That's not any military plan that I've ever seen. This is not going to work." And that could be likened to us today. People say, "Well, you know, I know I need to believe in God. I know I need to be obedient, but I don't see being baptized, being buried in that water is going to save my soul. It's going to help me obtain salvation." But it's not a matter of what you might want to believe. It's a matter of what you must believe. God says this, and we have to do exactly what God says. You see, it's only a full trust and faith in the Lord that caused the walls of Jericho to fall. It's only a full trust and faith in the Lord that causes our sins to be washed away when we're immersed in this watery pool up here. And that's what caused Joshua to follow these instructions, was his full measure of trust and faith in God. In fact, Hebrews 11 and verse 30 tells us that the walls of Jericho didn't fall down because of some catapult or some battering ram. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Whose faith? Partly Joshua's, but the children of Israel had to have some measure of faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. So I want to suggest to you that great leaders realize they cannot place their faith in men. They must look to God. And that's closely related with what we want to look at next, that made Joshua the great leader that he was. He was a man of God's word. His success was directly related to the word of God. We read in Joshua chapter 7 that he had fulfilled all of the law of Moses. Again, verse 7 of Joshua 1 says, "Only be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you." Notice this. "Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left." Don't do that. Follow straightly what God says. And notice the last line, "that you may prosper wherever you go." Be strong. Sometimes it takes strength and courage to do what God says. And Joshua did that. He was a man of God's word. And he had to fulfill all of the law of Moses. He did that to ensure his success. But he meditated upon God's word as well, both day and night, to ensure that he was successful. In verse 8 of that same passage says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all, observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, this world is based upon being successful. That's kind of what Rick talked about yesterday, was leaving a legacy. What do you want this world to remember you by? What do you want this world to remember about you? You know, one good way to look at that is, what will be written on your headstone? Here lies Jeff. He's like Rover. He's just dead all over now. Or will it say something to the effect that this was a man of faith? This was a man of courage. This was a godly man. It depends upon how you live your life in following the will of God. But we see with Joshua that time and time again, he was true to the word of the Lord. In Joshua chapter 1, he reminded the 2.5 tribes about their responsibility. You'll remember from the text that they wanted to stop on the other side of the Jordan because that was suitable ground for their shepherding. And they talked to Joshua and they said, this is where we want to live. He says, but you still have an obligation to go fight for the rest of your brethren. We see that in chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And in chapter 8, we see he renewed the covenant with Israel and God at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And we can see a summary of Joshua's devotion found in chapter 11 and verse 15. It says, as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua, we see here, was truly a man of God's word. And then at the end of his life, he encouraged the nation to follow God's word. He says in Joshua 23 and verse 6, to the nation, to the people of Israel, be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. And we notice in verses 14 through 16 of Joshua 23, he says, behold, this day I am going all the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Joshua is reminding them that God has been faithful. He says, all have come to pass for you. Everything that God has promised you has happened. Not one word of them has failed. Now verse 15, therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God has promised, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Joshua's telling them the straight and narrow of it. You have to do what God said and he'll bless you. You go to the right hand or the left, as he said earlier, and God, he says, will destroy you from the land that he's given you. Verse 16, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the land which he has given you. What a prophecy. What a prophecy, because this is exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. First with the Assyrian Empire, when the nation of Israel had divided the 10 tribes to the north and 2 to the south, and then later with Nebuchadnezzar and the nation of Babylon. But we see here in this example of Joshua that faith comes from the word of God. That's what Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 17. So we really cannot expect one to be a man of God, a man of faith, without first being a man of God's word. And when we talk about leadership, for those who would lead, they need to listen to the word of God. They need to heed the word of God. They need to heed the charge that God gave Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 8, which is similar to what Paul gave to the young preacher Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4 and verses 13 through 16, he told the young man Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Did you catch that? The doctrine, the word of God. Continue in them. He says in the last line, therefore, in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's closely related to what Joshua charged the nation of Israel with. But another thing about Joshua was he was a man of prayer. And we see him praying for his people when they failed God. In Joshua chapter 7, after the fall of Jericho, they spied out the little city of Ai, and the spies come back and they said, we don't need the whole army. We'll just send a small army out, a small contingent, and we'll defeat them. But you remember that Achan had sinned by taking some of the spoils from the city of Jericho and hiding them in his tent. And this small army was defeated by the city of Ai. And we see that. And then we see that Joshua prayed because of the failure of the people of Israel. And here he and the elders pleaded with God on behalf of Israel. We need to pray in both the good and the bad times. You know, everybody is concerned about this coronavirus, the COVID-19. And it is a serious situation, don't take me wrong. And we need to be praying about it. We need to be praying every day that God would take care of this problem. But we see Joshua being a man of prayer when the people failed God. But we also see him praying in the middle of a war. We noticed this a moment ago in Joshua chapter 10, that all of Israel was routing the kings of the south. They were winning. Joshua chapter 10, verses 9 through 14. And Joshua prayed, and while he prayed, God caused the sun and the moon to stand still, the day to extend. And as long as the sun stood still, they were defeating their enemies. But notice, in the heat of the battle, the military leader of the people stopped to pray. They were trusting in their own strength. Brethren, we don't need to trust in our own strength. We need to look to God for help. He is the one, as Joshua 10 and verse 13 says, caused the sun and the moon to stand still. If Joshua had not been a man of prayer, and the help of the Lord would not have been provided, we need to understand that when leaders need all the help that they can get, they need to be men of prayer. And finally, when we look at Joshua, it should be clear that we have already seen that another quality of leadership could be found in Joshua, in that he was a man who put God first. Before the business at hand, he put God first. As we've already pointed out, in the middle of a war, in the middle of battle, in the heat of a military campaign, he prayed to God. Even though it gave their enemies time to join together in opposition, he still prayed to God. Joshua chapter 9. Joshua still put God first and kept God's commandments in the middle of the heat of a battle. But also, God was put before anybody else. Joshua was a man who put God before others. He didn't care what other people might think or do about what he was doing in serving the Lord. Now, how many of us can say that? How many of us today are concerned about our image with other people? Maybe it's other Christians. Maybe it's our neighbors. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's just the people in the world. Are we ashamed that we are Christians? Not Joshua. Joshua put God first. He put God before others. He really didn't care what other people thought about it. We read at the end of his life in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, he says. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. Joshua didn't care what people thought about him. The most important thing in his life was to be found pleasing in the eyes of the Lord, to do what God said. It didn't matter. Now, as we close out this lesson, we see that he was a strong influence for good for others because of his stand. In Joshua 24, verse 16, after Joshua made that statement, the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods." But we know from reading the history of the people of Israel that this statement didn't last long. It just didn't. And Joshua serves as an excellent example of leadership. You know, it was these qualities that made Joshua a strong leader. A man of humility, a man who had faith and trust in God, who was a man of God's word, a man of prayer. He was a man who put God first. And that's what we need to see in leaders today, not just elders, but in every individual who will lead in our community, in our world. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Part of that is your leadership ability in trusting God and following God. But you know, Joshua was not alone. It appears sometimes that we may think that we're alone. And Joshua certainly may have felt that way at times in his life with those of his generation. We read in Joshua 24 and verse 31, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." As long as the elders had been contemporary with Joshua, the people served the Lord. The nation as a whole served the Lord. What about us? Are we willing to serve the Lord and be the example that the world needs? Are we talking about supernatural abilities, supernatural qualities? No. It doesn't say anything about Joshua performing miracles. It just says that he followed the Lord. He served him faithfully. But those which each and every person is capable of possessing is what we need to do today. We need to be serving the Lord. We need to serve Him faithfully in every aspect of our lives. It may be that